and welcome to a different kind of Tink Thank today. We are both burnt out.
Yeah, a little bit tired.
For us, we've been in school for, I think it's 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
Straight now with no break, which is makes sense, yeah. Right? It makes sense for COVID purposes, not sending people home for fall break. But it does mean a lot of school and a lot of sort of accumulated stress.
On that topic, we did want to mention, just so everyone knows, Gabe and I are following COVID protocols in recording sessions, and we will always be following COVID protocols in our recording sessions. Our masks are on. The art does not come above health and safety
in any respect. And that's why the episode you just heard with Declan was recorded remotely, obviously. We still wanted to put something out, albeit back then in March, and you're just now hearing it. But yeah, that is something that we are taking very seriously and hope that you are too. So keep your mask on. We're doing it, and you can still hear us just fine. So I don't think there are any excuses, I suppose.
But back on the topic of us being tired.
Yeah, we put out the last episode and wanted to do another this week. We wanted to get a guest in. We wanted to figure out how best to do the recording while staying safe and healthy. And just with the additional work that we have from school and the additional fatigue from school.
And it's getting cold out.
Yeah, which is not for someone from Southern California. For me, I think just for humans, the lack of sunlight and the increase of rain doesn't help, I suppose, with that. And so we didn't want to force out an episode that wasn't any good. We didn't want to bring in a guest and waste their time and yours for something that would be sort of low energy. And admittedly, we didn't have the cycles to even make a bad episode, let alone a good one. And so we wanted to do something a little bit different today and take up a little bit less time for our sake and yours and sort of talk about this feeling of being burnt out and exhausted. So, James, I'm curious for you what you do to recuperate and recover, and then maybe more importantly, what you do to prevent getting into a burnt-out state with the factors that you can control, right? Like not COVID, not no fall break and so on. But
can't control the world. Yeah, it is tough, and obviously I'm no perfect person, neither are you. We both know that.
God, no.
We're just going to be, I guess, open, vulnerable here. So I don't have like a perfect plan to get out of it, but I mean, I'll tell you what relaxes me and what calms me down, and it sounds stereotypical, as I was telling you earlier, Gabe, to say like I do like to sit down with a cup of tea, and I know that sounds like, oh, just sit down with tea and everything will be fine.
Thanks, I'm cured.
No, but... It is peaceful, like, over this weekend on Saturday morning. I woke up, I made myself it was not sleepy time, but the Celestial,
that brand,
with the bear on the front, peach tea with, like, honey
peach
in it.
Peach tea is so nice.
And I just sat on the couch, and it was, like, 11 a.m. on a Saturday, and I just held it in my hands.
I was going to say, James is cupping really his nice. Hands right now.
I am, just remembering, and, like, holding a cup of tea is really nice. Like, I like to sit there. I played my ukulele a bit and listened to music. That's nice. And a big thing, huge thing for me is going outside.
Yeah.
Whether it's for a walk or for a run, I need to leave once a day.
Yeah.
Especially like that on that day on Saturday, I got to 7 p.m. and I hadn't left all day. And that like wasn't problematic for me, but I was like, I know it. I need to go outside no matter what. Just breathe fresh air even for a couple minutes. That's always a huge, huge thing for me. That helps me calm down even just a little bit.
No, that's something that's all of these, especially the preventative things, are things that I'm yet to fully like appreciate how much they affect my mood, but I'm starting to learn how much they affect my mood.
Yeah.
Again, mostly by their absence, unfortunately, but it will somehow catch me by surprise if I've eaten just shitty food for a week.
and then I don't feel good.
I feel like shit. And I
like,
wonder,
wait a second.
Like, oh, this has got to be school, right?
Yeah, where did this come from?
It's like, no, I think I've just only eaten like ramen and toast for 3 days and only 2 meals a day and like not enough water. And And so I think for me, diet has been the primary thing. At least that has been the primary focus for me. I'm sure there is more to expand in all other directions as well. But Yeah, diet and definitely getting outside and going for walks. I'm fortunate to get to walk to campus on days that I have class on campus, which is nice. It's getting a little colder, but it's still, it's crisp. It's autumn. But yeah, getting outside is huge, especially when the alternative is to be in front of a screen.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, not only for school, but for extracurricular things and for, like, leisure time.
That's
not really leisure.
That is the thing. My mom, if you're listening to this, I'm talking about you.
Hi, James's mom.
Hello, mom. But she always makes jokes. She's like, do you think you could survive, like, a week without your phone? And yes, I could. I'm not that addicted to my phone, but I could not survive a week in normal life without my phone because I need it.
Sure.
I need it. Or, like, not, or maybe not just my phone, but, like, a technological device.
Yeah, that
for
interface.
For my schoolwork, for, like, everything mm-hmm. I have to do outside of school. Like, we're so connected to screens, it's very hard to look away from them. And especially if you go to the same school that Gabe and I go to, we had earlier in the semester a two-week kind of shutdown period mm-hmm. where everything went to full online. And talking about, like... reactive versus proactive taking yeah. care of yourself. We got like 5 or 6 days into that, maybe not that far, but I realized a good couple days in, I was like, I haven't left my apartment.
Oh, I didn't the entire 2 weeks. It wasn't,
you didn't?
It, no,
yeah,
it wasn't until
good.
The first day back that I was like, why do I feel like shit?
Yeah.
What did I do to my, oh, right. I literally didn't walk outside of my
yeah.
climate controlled pod.
I had that realization. And I think that clicked for me then. That I forced myself to leave once a day,
mm-hmm.
even though I had no business to do outside of my apartment because everything was on Zoom. Everything I needed to do was on Zoom and then on my laptop for homework
mm-hmm.
And then my laptop for real work, for work.
Yeah.
And I would force myself to leave. But that reactive gesture has now solidified in my brain that I know I need to leave once a day.
Right.
And if I feel like it's not going to happen, I make sure I go out even if it's for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, the point that your mom brings up is also interesting because it, my girlfriend is in all online classes,
mm-hmm.
and this past weekend, I think, or end of last week, her Wi-Fi went out.
Mm.
No fault of her own, just the provider shit in the bed a little bit, and it is pretty tough to do online school when you don't have Wi-Fi.
No internet.
And that realization, not only for, wow, we're really reliant on this, like the point your mom is getting to, but like, imagine how many people there are in the last end of last semester and the entirety of this semester who have been forced for health reasons to do online schooling
mm-hmm.
and just don't have stable access to internet or a device with which to attend their courses. Or, and I know some schools or some charities and stuff have tried to get people laptops or try to arrange, you know, turning the school buses into mobile Wi-Fi zones. I remember seeing
mm-hmm,
that somewhere,
mm-hmm.
which is lovely, but it's just, it puts into perspective how much we assume that the devices and the technology that are just like so much a part of our life that I couldn't live without it are universal.
Yeah.
When that access is, of course, not. And so building things like a temporarily reformed education system around those assumptions is so potentially so damaging and exclusionary. But we don't mean to make this more depressing, I suppose.
Yeah,
we drifted a little bit.
I was about to say, before we start doom spiraling into our own consciousnesses.
But hey, recognizing that, I'll give us credit. We indulged slightly, but we noticed that that's what we were doing. And that's well, actually, for me, that's another thing, isn't acknowledging, and this has been really hard for me, that acknowledging when I'm doing or feeling something that isn't good without ascribing a judgment to it
mm-hmm.
as well. And for a while, it was instantaneous, and so I didn't think of them as separate actions. But I think I've started to pull them apart a little bit, where feeling frustrated about something doesn't have to be, oh, God, I shouldn't be frustrated. Like, there's this additional
layer
that makes things so much worse when you do that to yourself.
It is. You feel that way, and you feel you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah, and so I still do it, I think, quite often. But I'm, again, like we just did, starting to become a little more aware of when that happens. So there's hope. There's progress,
there's hope.
I suppose.
The theme, I guess, if there is a theme to this episode, is taking care of oneself.
Definitely.
That's what Gabe and I are trying to do right now, and that's what we hope you are trying to do at home. If you are listening, we truly, truly appreciate you more than you know, and we hope you do have the facilities and the abilities to take care of yourself, and we hope you are, if you can.
Absolutely. And it's, yeah, it's something that I don't think we can overstate how much, like James said, we appreciate those who take the time to listen, even to parts, because having this as a project for us, I know we're both the sort of person that having a thing, having some sort of thing we're working on, a mission, a project, whatever, is really important and grounding and fulfilling, I think is the word I was looking for. So having a thing that we can work towards and structure our day and time around, at least somewhat, is very helpful, at least personally. So the thing that we sort of structured around for today, this notion of helping oneself or, God, Jesus, self-help, I don't really like that. But
yeah,
the notion
it feels weird to say all these stereotypical phrases or anything.
But it is. It's being kind to yourself. It's being aware. It's taking time, especially when, like, I don't know in your respective school or workplace if you've had the feeling of, it's COVID, but we've all sort of gotten used to it now, so back to business as usual, just with a mask.
So I can't feel bad about it.
Yeah, which I don't agree with. I think it's dampening it a lot from what people are still experiencing is continual, not even residual, continual stress. And so we wanted to sort of do this, and the act of putting together this episode has been for us a really calming and cathartic experience. So we put together something for you that, for us was calming to assemble. This isn't making much sense. the thing that we're about to share with you, I suppose, this little exercise is, a kind of guided visualization, sort of like a meditation, if you will.
Yeah.
That sort of steps you through with kind of some fun story and images, each of our episodes from 0 to 8. And it's meant to be sort of light and enjoyable, but also a rich sort of sensory experience. I find that leaning into an awareness of your senses is really useful for me, leaning into an awareness of my senses, I should say, as I try to sort of ground myself and get back to the present and slow down and take myself out of whatever is sort of causing me stress, as it were.
Mm-hmm. And we know neither Gabe nor I is a meditation expert. We've both experienced visualization exercises like this and meditation exercises like this. And despite not being the experts behind them, I have always found them pretty calming. It's nice to close my eyes and just get to focus on something that is not the world full of my problems.
Definitely. And I think anyone who makes particularly something of an artistic bent is exercising in a kind of you're creating opportunities for escapism for your audience. And whether or not that's the intent, it's, we were talking about this earlier, that we deem to a degree any performance a success if for an instant it takes the audience member out of their present world with all of their troubles and concerns and so on and into your world.
Mm-hmm.
And so if and when you're interested in more expertly constructed mindfulness and meditation exercises and resources, we're going to put a bunch of links in the show notes to people who do this sort of thing for a living and are much better at it. We don't claim to be doing their job at all. This is just something that was sort of a different kind of form of artistic expression for us that we hope serves some sort of cathartic value, perhaps, for you.
So yes, definitely listen to them. As we said, they'll probably be much more apt with the meditation aspect. But we thought this would be a fun exercise. It's been really fun, calming, and cathartic for us. And we hope it gives you even a slight amount of the same.
So here begins the visualization. Let's begin by taking a slow look around your space. You can look to your left and move your eyes to the right, taking in the details of your surroundings. When you reach the right, you can close your eyes if it's safe to do so, and do your best to recreate the space in your mind. Which colors are most prevalent? Are there any pieces of furniture that stand out to you? You can acknowledge these and then turn your focus to your feet if you're standing, or your chair if you're sitting. And think about how this material feels under you. Now, let's add a swiveling office chair opposite you. Really picture it in this imaginary space. What color is the back? Does it have a pattern? Why don't you give it a push and watch it roll across the room? Now, let's put another chair next to this one. It can be the same or different. Now, let's add one more chair. And another. And one more. And when you run out of floor space, you can start stacking them. And just continue adding chairs until your room is positively stuffed with chairs.
All right, this room has too many chairs now. Let's move outside. Find your way to the door, moving the chairs aside if you need to, and open it. Look outside, and instead of your front lawn or your hallway, gaze upon the vast fields spanning beyond your doorway. Picture rows and rows of low green growth extending to a hilly horizon. Baby blue skies above, with the occasional cream puff cloud drifting lazily by. Step over your threshold and feel the soft, cool dirt beneath your feet. If you'd like, you can crouch down and take a look at the little clusters of beans that have been planted in the neat rows in this field. Notice their broad green leaves against the dark, damp soil.
You can now begin to walk between the rows of beans until you crest the hill that was previously your horizon. Look out on what lies beyond your bean field, a sprawling, sparkling desert. As you climb down the hill, feel the warmth of the sand between your toes. It is especially warm compared to the cool soil you just came from. In the distance, you can see a structure rising from the sand. Let's head over there. Enjoy your walk now across the desert sands, warmth radiating from your feet, up your body, to the top of your head from the orange sun above. If you're getting too warm, you can turn your focus to the gentle breeze rolling in from the fields behind you. And by now, the structure has come clearly into view. It's a gigantic pyramid. You can admire its size from afar, or approach it and feel the warm, craggly limestone blocks by running your hand along their surface.
When you're ready to move on, you can head to the other side of the pyramid. Here, waiting in the shade, is a magnificent horse. What color is its coat? Does it have spots? You can approach it. Don't worry. I promise it's friendly. And climb on its back. Feel free to use the bottom layer of the pyramid as a step if the horse is too tall for you. Gently pet the horse's back and feel its smooth hair. When you're ready, the horse will take you to our next location. Simply pat on the side of its neck. And the horse begins to slowly move away from the pyramid towards the ocean. Soon enough, it is wading in the water. Soon after that, it has begun to swim. It takes you slowly out to sea. The rocking motion is slow and steady. If you want, you can look behind you and see the wake of bubbles churned up by its legs. In the distance, you see a ship approaching. Take a moment to observe it. What color are the sails? How many masts does it have? As you observe, the horse changes course and swims right alongside the grand vessel.
On the side of the ship, there is a ladder just within reach. Reach out and grab it. Take a moment to say goodbye to your horse friend. The horse looks back at you, bows its head, and swims peacefully back to shore. Turn towards the ship now, and ascend the ladder. You are standing on the deck now. Look out to the horizon. The ship seems to be heading towards a nearby island. There is still a ways to go, though, so take a moment. Check in with your body. Feel the subtle rocking of the ship beneath your feet. Hear the waves cresting beneath you. Feel the sun on your back. Breathe in the sea salt air. The ship comes to a halt as the bow meets the shore. It's now safe to climb back down the ladder and onto the wet sand.
The beach is littered with barrels and crates from the ship's cargo. Walk over to one. Investigate it. Is it dry, or is the wood waterlogged? Open it up. Hear the wood creak as the lid lifts up to reveal that it is full to the brim with pairs of jeans. Piles and piles of denim jeans. What color are they? Blue? Black? Red? Purple? Are they ripped, or are they not? Behold the jeans. Take a pair for yourself if you wish, and whenever you are ready, turn back to the island.
The shore quickly fades into a lush, tropical forest. Take a moment to hear the sounds of the forest. Birds in the trees, insects calling out. Feel the humidity of the air. The trees are bright and colorful, unlike anything on this earth. These are truffula trees. Take in their colors. See the yellows, the reds, the pinks, and the purples. Reach out and brush one of their tufts. Feel the silky smoothness slide across your palm. From beyond the trees, you can hear a faint drumming sound. It's drawing nearer, and with it comes a parade of the wonderful creatures from where the wild things are. They are in all sizes and shapes, different animal heads, feathers and fur, horns and paws. Does one stand out to you? Do you have a favorite from the book? They dance their way out of the trees and by you along the shore.
As they dance past, you notice someone out of place bringing up the rear of the line. It's him from the Powerpuff Girls. His thigh-high leather boots are sinking into the soft sand. but he appears to be having a great time dancing along to the drum beat. You can wave if you'd like. He'd wave back at you before joining the others down the coast.
You can turn back to the forest now and start to walk into it, weaving amongst the colorful trees. Before too long, you'll come upon a clearing. There are sticks, leaves, pebbles, and some moss in the dirt circle. In the center of the clearing, there are three short tree stumps positioned around a larger one. James and I are seated at two of the tree stumps, with a board game spread out on the big one between us. The third stump is for you. Won't you join us? Here, take these dice. Think how they feel in your hands. Are the edges sharp or soft? What color are they? Are the pips recessed or flush to the surface? Once you're familiar with the dice and how they feel in your hands, give them a roll.
While we continue to roll and take our turns, let me turn to the small campfire outside our circle. Above it, there is a cast iron kettle full of warm gumbo. Take a deep breath in through your nose and smell the blend of spices that's drifting towards you. Note how this scent mixes with the burning firewood and the faint, salty sea behind you. I'll stir the gumbo with a ladle and serve a helping into three small ceramic bowls. What color are they? How does this color change in the dim and flickering firelight? Holding the bowl in your hands, feel the warmth radiating out. When it's your turn to roll, you can set the bowl down on the stump. There's no rush, though. You're welcome to stay as long as you'd like.